services, please go to our website, amssasc.ca, or visit our Facebook page, AMS Sexual Assault Support Centre.
I got a show that's bound to put more dips in your hips, more cut in your strut, more glide in your stride. And if you don't dig it, you got a hole in your sock. Right on. Right on. Thank you. This is one of those old school tunes that make it feel real bad. You know what I'm saying, brother? Everyone's got opinions, and sometimes people try to push their opinions on you and try to make you do what they want you to do. But sometimes you just gotta do you. Sometimes a girl just wants to do her own damn thing. So mind your business, open up the door, 'cause I'm coming in. Yeah, I'm coming to town with that old school sound. Gonna claim a crown, don't play around.
One from Russia, one from the Caribbean. Sergeant and comrade,
Welcome, Carrie Donaldson, to the second episode of Not My First Schmodio.
Yay.
I'm your host, Ruby Raven, and I have with me here local ginger Vancouver comedian. I'm so sorry. People are probably always talking about your hair color. I don't see hair color. I want you to know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's a big part of my brand, though.
Yeah, so. I know.
And I did give you that copy, and I did say, please emphasize the ginger.
Yeah.
Before the name. Sure.
Yeah. So welcome to the second episode of Not My First Schmodium. I'm here with a local beautiful ginger schmo.
Oh, thank you for reading the full copy.
Yeah.
I was a little upset on that first take.
All right. So, Carrie, you are an improviser in Vancouver.
Allegedly.
And I'm wondering what got you into improv? What got you into comedy?
Wow. Right out the gate.
Right out of the gate.
Hard-hitting journalism.
We're not asking what your favorite ice cream flavor is. We're going right in.
You're cutting me to the core. Jesus. Great question. Let's
Please
see.
Say that every question I ask. It's actually written in the contract.
You have to say
great. First of all, great question.
First of all, despite any, even if it's not a question, which I found interesting.
Statements preferred.
Statements only on this. So good luck to us. Which is a thing of an improv too. So look at that, full circle. But anyways, I digress, stalling for time to figure out a very impactful answer to why I constantly need validation on a stage. You know what? I think it was always I grew up wanting to do comedy, whatever that meant. I didn't know what that meant. SNL obviously felt like the trajectory.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got caught up living my life, making money, you know, figuring out who I was. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly I decided to take an improv class. Mm-hmm. because I was fed up with not, you know when you're like, okay, I'm going to do comedy, and you sit down and you're like, what does that mean? I guess I'll write comedy.
Yeah.
And then you just sit there and you're like, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Improv was like an intentional kind of move to get me going.
Mm-hmm.
Never intended to make it a thing for me. I just thought, great way to like get the juices flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am like 10 plus years later,
yeah.
like literally in the world of improv, yeah. moved to Vancouver to do it, originally yeah. from Calgary.
Mm-hmm. Cowtown.
Cowtown, thank
Calgary.
You. Calgary. Oh, look at you. She knows the Bertolingo.
Yes.
But, you know, here I am doing improv and still loving it, saying yes and saying no, thank you. No, but.
What if? I will make this my own.
I will make it work.
Yes.
Please pay me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you also write comedy.
Yes, yes. So that was, I think, my first love was I always wanted to be a comedy writer.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like improvisers, bless their sweetie little hearts, they're just the loveliest people, but I wanted to, like, work in a writer's room.
Yeah.
I wanted to, like, work on a show behind the scenes. I was never, like, you know, I didn't want the attention necessarily because I think...
What?
I know. That is what's so controversial. I think improvisers just inherently command attention when they go to any room. Like, you get a few improvisers at a party, it's like they're going to... They're a lot.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
They're going to do their party pieces.
They're going to have their bits.
They're going to perform.
They're going to perform. They are on and they feed off of that.
Yes.
All extroverts. I am like a posing extrovert, secretly introvert. Do not tell anyone.
I won't.
Thank you. This isn't live, right? And I just love the experience of working with just a few people, you know, kind of obsessing over jokes and trying to make each other laugh and trying to get like the best joke wins kind of thing.
What was the last thing you wrote?
Oh,
or one that you're willing to share.
I love that. I think the last thing I probably wrote, I did a lot of like loose writing bits during the pandemic, which is the cute way I refer to
the Pandemi Lovato.
The Pandemi Lovato.
The Pandemi More.
The Demi. Oh, the Pandemi More. One more. The Demi.
There's no other Demi.
There really isn't.
The Pandemi colon. No, that's a semicolon. Never mind.
You know what? We lean into that. Pandemi colon is Demi Moore's
colon.
Colon.
Which is ripe and healthy.
Ripe and healthy. And a shout out to Demi Colin.
Demi's colon.
The shit.
I'm sure she's keeping it real healthy. She's got a lot of money.
She gives off a healthy colon.
Yeah, that's maybe the only thing that she gives off.
Yeah, exactly. Take that. We are not a fan of the Demi.
No, Demi, we love you. I'm sorry, Demi.
She's one of the listeners.
Yeah, she's the one listener.
Dedicated.
Hi, Demi. Yeah. I called her to listen.
Oh,
She's just the sweetest.
I love that she made time for that.
A healthy colon makes a sweetheart.
Oh. That's beautiful. It feels like it should rhyme, but it really doesn't.
It doesn't.
No.
But anyways.
It certainly doesn't. And it doesn't stack.
And it does. It's not anything.
It
actually.
Doesn't.
It
actually,
makes no sense.
Medically,
no.
It is not sound, but it still feels right. So we lean into it. I've lost the plot here. Oh, yes. So one of the things I wrote, I guess, I did a bit, a Hero Show bit, which is a local show. Mm. Shout out to the Hero Show.
What is the Hero Show?
It's basically you do like a 5 to 7 minute solo bit. It can be anything. Usually it's like a character monologue or like a piece. It's basically anything but stand-up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's just kind of whatever you want to do up there. Anything goes. Real
right.
Laissez-faire. Loose boy. And I did a frantic, I think it was around Christmas time, the holiday season. So I think I did like a manic coworker just like freaking out at her coworkers because she felt like her Secret Santa gift was subpar,
yeah.
And she had like really put the effort in.
What was the gift she got?
Ironically enough, it was a gift that my sister's partner had got from my father for Christmas like 7 years ago. My sister's partner is Italian. That is a fact about him.
Okay.
It's not like the only fact about him, but it is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
He got this plastic, like, Italian chef clock.
Hmm.
Yes. Hmm. So it...
So it's a clock.
It's a clock. It's like a classic clock.
Okay.
Not a digital clock. So, you know, the hands are moving. It doesn't necessarily makes sense, the design. It's like if I had to describe the stereotype, it looks like Pasquale of Chuck E. Cheese fame. I don't know if we're familiar with the lore of Charles E. Cheese. Okay. Do Google it. It's worth it. Pasquale is his name.
Pasquale.
He's part of the Charles Cheese gang. And it's just offensive at best.
Right. Good luck.
And it really tells the story of how little my father knows my sister's partner, who she's been with for
Wait, so your father got this for your sister's partner?
For my sister's partner, okay. Yes.
Oh, and he was like, you're Italian.
Yes.
You'll like this Italian.
This will be a
gift. What is
a
mouse?
It's a Italian chef.
Italian chef.
Yes.
Right.
Clock.
So your character got chef clock.
Yes. Because it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And I knew that one day.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
7 years later.
7 years later, I knew that would pay off for me. And I felt like that was the right time. I felt like during this pandemic, we needed this light in the darkness. So I brought her out. And it was great. And the part of that story that's interesting, too, is that for unknown reasons, one of my bosses, I do moonlight at, I work at the library kind of part time as well in the Inspiration Lab. Shout out to that as well. Mm-hmm. It's a recording studio space. And he was there. So in a weird turn of events, when I was stepping out onto the stage, I literally locked eyes with one of my bosses. And I was like, good.
Yeah. Oh, this, you don't get me this.
Yeah.
Santa.
Yeah. I was like, oh, because I literally, part of the bit is that I yell at the audience because they're my coworkers in this situation. So I just basically yelled at him.
Right.
It was a growing
cathartic.
Experience. It was cathartic.
Really cathartic.
I really took it out on him.
I'm so glad you did. And I hope everyone felt that in the audience and felt that catharsis with you.
That too. Yeah. For the world.
Yeah.
So I guess that was the last thing I wrote.
And what type of writer are you?
Prolific.
Have you heard of Hemingway?
Hemingway much? Yeah.
He was hilarious, by the way.
Little known facts. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, whiskey. Oh, all this. I'm like, how about
those jokes?
Writes a mean punchline. The zings on that guy. The zinger
walked
king.
Walked around with a whoopee cushion.
Oh, he was shameless.
Classy guy.
Daddy zaddy jokes all day.
Yes. Anyways. Sorry.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you riff with me right now on a very serious question? Mm-hmm. I would say I'm a very... I like really unpacking life things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a very stream of consciousness writer. Mm-hmm. I'm an overwriter, too. That's my problem, mm-hmm. is I start with too much, and then I have to par down. Mm. So I think I just love comedy that has detail, that has... Oh, and also, I stupidly love play on words and puns, and I'm punished for it.
Get out.
Yeah. Did you hear that? That was a subtle one. And I honestly don't even mean to make puns, and I hate when I do it. So I think that's important when you deliver a pun. It's like you have to have like a tinge of shame.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
Like,
you're proud. I don't want to shame a punter, a pundit, but at the same time, like, you have to understand that
it's shameful.
It's a
there's
shame.
And you feel bad about it.
Exactly. You just
the people around you.
You honor that shame, but it doesn't stop you from living your life.
What was the last pun you made that you were really proud of?
Ooh. Oh, great question. It probably was a subtle one.
You are very subtle.
I'm subtle with it. I will give you a little wink after I do it if I catch it. So that's just part of the shame spiral is you got to wink it.
You got to wink.
And then no eye contact. For at least 2 minutes. I think it was at a wedding. I think it was something to do with... Oh, it's going to bug me because I can't think of it right now.
It's okay. We can move on. And then if you think of it, we can come back to it.
Okay. I would love to circle back to that. Yeah. Thank you.
So for Demi Moore, who may not know improv, who's listening.
Yes.
I'm wondering if you can explain what it is and like why people like it. Like why people who don't want to go into comedy really like doing improv.
You know, that is an interesting question. I feel like when you love improv, you love it. And if you don't really know what it is or you don't think you like it, you despise it. And that's the right answer. That's fair. Improv is this magical, almost cult-like, I'll say it. I'll be the first to admit, kind of community of people who just want to like play together, make comedy, and, you know, out of literally nothing.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of, there's a few, kind of, there's a mild structure to it. There's ways to, like, succeed at it. But ultimately, you just accept that you have no idea what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You embrace that chaos. Yeah. You step on stage, and you and a bunch of weirdos just...
Oh, a bunch of weirdos.
Bunch of weirdos. Real weirdo con 2022. and you all just make shit up and the audience lives for it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I
went to your treat show
like
2 weeks
heart.
Ago.
Bless your heart.
And there was this one bit where it was you and two other people.
Ugh. And not important who they are. Not important. It's not their time.
And... there was the scene where you were like their niece and they were like a couple. And you probably don't remember this because you are improvising constantly and you probably forget everything you do. But there was like a Roomba who they had like seen as their child and like a bag of volleyballs who were like your cousins who were like your children.
Okay, it's coming
back. And so for people who don't understand like what improv is, it's basically like these people come into the scene. They don't know how they're going to relate to each other. They don't know what it's about at all. They just have one word. And I think the word was volleyball.
Probably volleyball would make sense.
And it snowballs into a scene about... you know, this familial, like, tension and this weirdo uncle and aunt, and they're covered in Vaseline, and they consider volleyballs to be their children. And so it's just, like, so zany and so strange. And for people who, like, don't have a lot of zany and strange in their life, like, going to that and seeing it is, like, oh, my God. Like, where is this coming from? Like, my friends who've seen me in improv are, like, I just can't, like, if I was up there, like, I couldn't even think of anything. Like, I just couldn't even say anything. So if you want a zany time and you're looking for some just weird stuff to watch.
Weird. I mean, you're not going to see any of this on the big screen.
No.
This will never be committed to writing, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
It is, and you just describing that improv scene is basically the best definition of improv.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things that after you see it, you try to describe it to somebody, and it just sounds...
insane.
Insane.
Yeah. And you're like,
how
is this a story that people can follow?
Yeah.
And somehow it is.
Yeah. And somehow, like, as an audience member, you are weirdly invested in these, you know, again, weirdos, lovely weirdos, the term of endearment, doing this insane, crazy storyline. And it just feels like impossible that it all works, but it somehow does.
Somehow it does. And the treat show is, plug the treat show.
Oh, thank you. Treat show is this adorable weekly show full of just the loveliest, talentist, improv.
Talentists.
Talentist. Mm-hmm. Hashtag. Yeah, that's a branding word. we all do some improv. Mm-hmm. And we have an early show and a late show. It happens every Saturday, 8 and 10 at the China Cloud, which is off Main and...
Pender,
thank you.
You're welcome.
I always just say deck. Just keep going down Main until you see an obscurely marked door.
Yes.
It is a strange building, but...
it's the best place to watch a bunch of weirdos do weird stuff.
I agree. You need that kind of, like, den, like, clubhouse, like, obscure vibe to be able to do this kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Crazy
like a
comedy.
cave never been cleaned.
Cavernous cave.
Yeah, and they sell coolers, so you alcohol lovers out there.
Get it.
Yes.
We sell Smirnoff Ice. Get iced. No, we don't.
No, you don't.
We sell cheap beers.
Yeah. What do you do, like White Claws?
White Claws. I think we have some White Claws, you know, a classic IPA. We got some for everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
So for Demi Moore,
thank you
listener.
For bringing it back.
Yes,
yes,
for our listener,
she deserves it.
I met Carrie because she was TAing a sketch class that I was in, and she was very funny.
Oh, bless.
And
your
self-deprecating,
heart.
And very red hairy.
These are the things. The red herring in the room is me. Yeah.
And you also teach a class.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes.
She's very enigmatic. Also. She doesn't put it out on the table.
She's a self-deprecating, manic pixie dream improv teacher. Just literally the worst trope of them all. Very 2022. I teach improv. Here we go. Another plug for you. Help me. Come see me.
Yes.
And let me teach you how to be a weirdo as well.
Yeah.
And say yes and to the chaos.
Oh.
I teach at... Yikes. I teach at the Blind Tiger comedy school.
And that's not Blend Tiger, the underground bar in Vancouver.
No, do not be confused.
It's not Blend Tiger. It's Blind Tiger Comedy.
There's nothing funny about that underground bar. Though very cool.
It is cool. But it's serious.
But serious.
They take themselves really seriously.
They really do. They pride themselves on that. So there's no riffing in that. So no riff zone. They'll kick you out.
If they hear you joking, they'll kick you out.
They'll kick you
out. You're out of there and you're banned.
Banned for life.
If does a chicken cross the road? I don't care. Get out.
There it is. Even if you set up, even if it's not funny,
it's just the setup.
They sense the
punchline. They can hear it.
Oh,
yeah,
a mile away.
Which is interesting. They have such a good comedy sense that they can sense a setup.
That's what I said.
But they don't use it to their advantage. They just are like, get out of there.
They know it enough to be able to stop it before it happens, which is a dedication that I honestly appreciate.
It's a deep repression.
It's a deep repression. Yeah. But cheap drinks, great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Great appies.
Really cool.
I don't know if that's true. But yeah, you know, see, this is what you could learn if you come hang out with me for money, for pay, obviously. I do that for free. And we're going to learn how to yes and all day, every day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I take a bunch of, I've taken improv classes and there are lots of people who are just like doing it for fun and doing it to like sort of help them in their career with confidence or being quick on their feet. Or just, like, opening themselves up to creativity. So if you're someone who's just, like, needs a break from this capitalist slug.
Ugh. Right?
The capitalist slug.
That slug is...
It's slimy.
It's slimy?
And it's wearing you down.
It's... Ugh.
So go over to Blind Tiger Comedy and take a class with...
Do it.
Carrie Donaldson.
Specifically.
And... How much time do we have left? All right, we're almost out of time.
No!
Yes! Oh, my God. We just chatter.
Who are we? Demi, I hope you're getting a lot out of this.
Demi is cracking. What's that? Crying in the club? No, that doesn't make sense.
Demi's crying in the club.
She's crying in the club.
You know she's crying in that club.
But they're tears. They're the emoji, that the laugh cry emoji.
Oh, right.
Which you use that emoji?
I don't think we're allowed to, right? Isn't that the not cool one?
Yeah, so that's the thing. Is like, for some reason, in like the middle of high school, I was like, I just am not feeling this emoji. This emoji, there's something unironic about this emoji.
Oh, okay.
And so, there was like a ban on it. It's controversial. But now people are kind of starting to using it sort of like double irony, but it kind of cancels it out so it's not ironic. And it's a lot for me.
When it starts to layer like that, I get overwhelmed.
I think most people do. Why do we do this to ourselves?
I know. This is a language that is going to be studied in a university, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure.
I just go so obscure with my emojis just in case. Like, I'll throw like an airplane seat.
Oh, I sent you a foot.
You did.
I sent you a rainbow and a foot.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, I'm able to codify. I'm like, yes, okay.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I can project what I need from that.
Exactly. I was going on a walk.
Exactly.
And I was happy about it.
And you were happy about it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And you picked up on that.
I picked up the vibes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Oh, my God. This got so loud in the computer.
We're peaking.
Sorry,
Demi.
I hope Demi wasn't wearing her AirPods.
Because
you know she has AirPods.
You know she
does. Even though they're not the best quality ones.
No.
Apple, don't sue me.
Apple's coming.
Apple's
listening.
That's
actually why I'm here. I'm here to serve you papers. It's how it works.
That's one of your moonlighting jobs.
Yeah, I got so many.
Oh, my God. Moonlighting. Bruce Willis wasn't moonlighting. He was married to the neighbor. Oh, my God.
We did it. We're free.
Wow. And on that note, next up, we have correspondent Naomi speaking with Janine Klepper, who is here to promote her new book. So stay tuned. We will be right back after this break.
Welcome back to Not My First Schmodio. I'm a correspondent, Naomi, and this is Oh Schmo You Don't segment, where we interview some temporary non-schmoes who are an expert in their field. Joining us today is Janine Klepper. Janine is an award-winning Canadian author who recently won the William Street Authors Grant. She's here to promote her new book, How to Transform Yourself into the Least Judgmental Person in the World. Hi, Janine. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Naomi. Thank you so much for having me.
Congratulations on the William Street Authors Grant.
Thank you. I had some tough competition. There are a ton of great authors who live on my block. Shout out to my neighbors on William Street. Truly such a supportive community.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So can you tell me a little bit about the book?
Yeah, for sure. I didn't get to finish my sentence from before. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish my sentence and then I'll answer your question, okay? All right. So I was saying truly such a supportive community and I'm so grateful for them.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's totally fine. I'm like the last person who's going to judge you in this type of situation, thanks to my techniques that I write about in my award-winning book, which leads me into answering your question. So my award-winning book, How to Transform Yourself into the Least Judgmental Person in the World, is basically a self-help book which gently guides people towards their best self. Nice. By encouraging them to stop judging and to start listening and accepting.
That's so great. I feel like with social media, our world has become so judgmental and so quick to make assumptions.
Yes! Thank you! It's truly not said enough. Social media has changed a lot of things for the worse, and people don't notice it, and they don't talk about it, and they never bring it up. It's so unfortunate. You know, social media is bad, and I'm not afraid to say it.
You go. So, in your book, using examples from your own life, you establish a lot of techniques for what you call radical acceptance and rejection of judgment. Would you mind sharing one of those techniques?
First of all, that was so well put, Naomi. Thank you. Second of all, yes, I would love to. So as you said, I use a lot of personal examples in my book. I'm a person. I have thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And one way to combat that is through looking inward at another person and asking yourself what their true motivation is. So for example, in my award-winning book, I write about my sister Jessica, who her whole life could never pronounce the word penguin. She calls it a penguin. This is actually my favorite thing about her. And for years, I would always bring it up to her new boyfriends. I'd tell strangers on the street. And everyone thought it was super funny. And it was always like a really successful anecdote. But for some reason, Jessica would never like laugh when I told this story. And this made me judge her, and it made me think that she had a terrible sense of humor, was unfunny, and really boring. But then one day, I decided to look inward at her, and I began to understand why she may not laugh when we criticize her.
Of course, just to clarify, look inward at her.
Yes, look inward at her.
Looking inward. But looking at her.
Yes, yes, you've got it. Always feel free to clarify if you don't understand. I won't judge you for seeming stupid.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So anyways, by looking inward at her, I began to see that it's not that she doesn't have a sense of humor. It's that when we make fun of the way she says penguin, which is penguin, she feels targeted and like we're looking down on her. Mm-hmm. You know, just because we find it funny that she seems stupid and dumb doesn't mean that she is going to feel the same way. In fact, she is actually going to feel bad. And that's why she won't laugh. I know that this is super convoluted and hard to comprehend, but I hope that you and the listeners can pick up on a little bit of what I'm saying.
I think we can.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so glad. You know, by looking inward at her, I was able to understand that, you know, people don't actually tend to laugh when you make jokes about them to their face. And there are actually countless academic articles that will back that up. You see, she felt like we were making fun of her for being stupid.
I do see. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Naomi. And if I had never taken the time to look inward at her, I never would have known that this is how she was feeling. So now when we make fun of her pronunciation of penguin, which is pangolin, I have a deep and correct understanding of why she isn't laughing. Does that make sense?
It does. Oh, it does, actually. So,
thank you.
Another technique you talk about in the book is something that you call shoe squeezing.
Yes.
Could you explain to me and our listeners a little bit more about what that is?
Oh, I would love to. So shoe squeezing is a kind of take on putting yourself in someone else's shoes.
Ah.
I humbly consider myself the deepest of empaths. And even I can find it incredibly difficult to imagine what someone else might be going through. So shoe squeezing acknowledges the level of commitment and difficulty that it takes to be empathetic. In my award-winning book, I talk about my half-cousin, Toby, who 2 years ago stopped carpooling with me to work every day because he checked himself into rehab for something called alcoholism.
Oh. I'm sorry to hear that, and I really hope he's doing okay.
Yes! Well, you know, I see someone has been reading my book and following the shoe-squeezing techniques because that's how I feel now. But naturally, that was not my first reaction. You know, at first, I was really angry because I no longer had someone to drive me to work every day, and I was really hurt, and I felt like it was really selfish for him to just leave me in the lurch and go on a vacation for 30 days. But then I squeezed my feet into his shoes, which in real life would have been really hard because even though he is 6'3", he wears a child size 5 shoe. But luckily, I am speaking metaphorically here.
So he actually wears...
Yes.
Is that physically possible? Is that medically possible?
He's in a lot of medical textbooks. But anyways, I put all my energy into trying to imagine what it must be like for him. Because being addicted to alcohol, it's not all fun and games, and it takes a lot of courage to decide to quit drinking. So after months of shoe squeezing, I was finally able to forgive him and see how hard it must have been for him. You see, alcoholism is a disease, and it's not something that you choose to have in order to get out of carpooling with your half-cousins. And my shoe squeezing allowed me to stop judging my half-cousin Toby for prioritizing healing from his addiction ahead of my automobile needs and see that going to rehab was a choice that factored in not only my needs, but my half-cousin Toby's needs as well. And I hope that using my book, other people can mindfully come to these same conclusions.
Well, that's certainly interesting to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I hope he's doing all right.
Yes.
And I hope you found another carpool. So
I take the bus now. It's
Anyway, my next question is about our pasts.
Mm-hmm.
So right now there's a lot of public conversation happening that you've contributed to, happening about trauma,
yes,
how people's pasts can affect their behaviors in the present. Can you talk a little bit about how you brought this idea of the past into one of your techniques?
Sure. So I call this technique past hunting. You know, I actually have a recent example of when I use this technique that I'm thinking about putting in my second book. This incident happened last week, and it was quite shocking. So basically, I was at my friend Priya's house, and she has a baby.
Aw.
Yeah, this baby's name is Kevin. And I'm the last person to have an opinion about what people name their babies, but Kevin sounds like someone's dead uncle. Am I right?
I have a terminally ill uncle named Kevin.
Oh, goodness. My condolences. Anyways, I was at her house, and I was going through a rough time, so I was trying to get some emotional support from her and her baby.
Kevin.
Yes. Such a beautiful name, Kevin. He would not stop bringing attention to himself. He was crying and blubbering and dropping things. And I think it's because babies are so high maintenance nowadays.
It sounds like you may just be describing an average baby.
Exactly. Kevin kept interrupting me and Priya kept catering to his every need. He dropped a fork, she's going to pick it up. You know, he cries for, like, no reason. She's going to figure out the reason. He defecates himself. She's going to clean it up with her bare hands. I was honestly really embarrassed for the both of them.
Was this the first baby you've interacted with or heard of?
Exactly. So in moments like this, I think about Kevin's past. You know, what has Kevin been through? Well, not much because he is a baby. But maybe his lack of experience can explain, not excuse, but explain why his behavior is so inappropriate. So I go past hunting and I think to myself, maybe because he can't understand language yet, he hasn't been able to internalize social niceties because he hasn't been able to understand what they are. His past, or lack thereof, is a window into his present behavior.
Well, it sounds like this technique has really enabled you to understand Kevin the baby.
Thank you. And not just Kevin the baby. All babies, and also regular people, too.
Well, Janine, thank you so much for joining us on Not My First Schmodio as our first non-schmo expert guest and giving us some of your precious time. Janine Klepper's book.
Award-winning book.
Her award-winning book, How to Transform Yourself into the Least Judgmental Person in the World, is out now on... Where can people buy your book?
Outside my apartment building, 4558 William Street, or at any Chevron gas station in the Metro Vancouver area.
All right. Fascinating. Thanks so much, Janine. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Kilimanjaro.
Sans se parler, on se connaît. Sans regarder, on s'est touché. Quand tu descends, tout est monté. Si tu t'arrêtes, je partirai. Emmène-moi tout en haut du Kilimanjaro. Voir les neiges éternelles briller toute la nuit. Fly au huitième ciel. Ce soir, tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Petit brinque au Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Demain, on inversera Kilimanjaro. Tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Petit bac au Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Mais on inversera Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. My love, my love, my love. Chérie, chérie, chérie. Let me samonte, manayo. Let me sapenzo, tonayo. C'est là, c'est là, c'est là. Nicola Mbakuna. C'est me samonte. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Petit break au Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Mais on inversera Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Petit break au Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Mais on inversera. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Petit break au Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Mais on inversera Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Petit break au Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Mais on inversera Kilimanjaro. Ce soir tu fais mon Kenya, Kilimanjaro.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Oh, wow. What a relaxing break we just had. I'm back here with Carrie Donaldson, Vancouver... I'm so close to the mic. Vancouver improviser extraordinaire.
Oh, I love that it changes subtly every time.
Yes.
So I appreciate
and
that.
And the subject of everyone's hair envy.
Yay. Again, part of my copy.
So, this is the part of the show. Mm. The part of the Not My First Schmo.
The Schmo.
The Schmo part of the show. So, basically, you just heard after Carrie's interview was an interview with an expert. She was... so smart.
Oh, it was
so intelligent.
I learned a lot.
Yeah, so did I. And I was really impressed with her scientific findings.
Yeah, it was all based firmly in fact. And I do appreciate that.
Me too. And anyways, so now we're back with a schmo because we were talking to a non-schmo. And now we're back with the schmoes of them all. And what I really want to do here is just celebrate everyone's schmoness. Everyone embarrasses themselves. Everyone is average at some point in their life.
True.
And I really just want to celebrate a normalness.
Thank you. And thank you for making a safe space for schmoes to come and talk about, the things that humble us.
As a schmo, I never had that safe space.
Yes.
So I'm just hoping that I can bring that to the other schmoes.
And thank you. And I applaud you.
Thank you.
I mean, I want to use the word hero.
oh, come on. Come on.
But I know I'm contractually obligated to.
And it's what you said.
Yeah.
And I'm holding it to
you. And you don't edit. You had said that. So. That's fine. Yes, I love a good schmoment. We've all had them.
And you say
I've had one.
You embarrass yourself constantly.
Constantly.
I do. I embarrass myself all the time.
I am like legit known for it. I do it to myself. I'm very forgetful. Mm-hmm. I think it's when I'm like anxious or in the moment. Mm-hmm. We'll leave things, do things mm-hmm. that make no sense, and it kind of, I double down on it too. So it's just, it's rife.
Is there a specific, thing you're doing that will embarrass yourself?
Oh, what am I not doing? It's literally, I don't know how to just stand still.
Right.
I don't know what to do with my hands. But I think for this, I would say where I really... become a shining star in the universe.
In the universe. Ooh.
I'm really leaning
into this. The schmalti universe.
The schmalti universe. Oof. Is when I'm on a first date.
Okay.
I just feel like it's because I'm at my most uncomfortable, my most anxious. It's such a, weird thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't speak to any of my strengths. And I think I'm just trying hard to be cool and not show all my schmoness right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
You want to lay it down in doses.
You want to sprinkle it.
You want to sprinkle the schmo.
If you're void of schmo, then you're just uninteresting.
Thank you. You want to let it schmo. But you don't want it to be a schmoverload. God, I'm living for this. So it's the first date for me when it comes to my schmoments. I've got two that come to mind, since you're asking. pardon me.
We're wearing masks.
We are.
Being very safe.
Yeah.
My face is sweating.
But you never tell. I'm wearing a mask, of course, on the top and the bottom. I'm wearing a full ski mask. And that's just because I am planning on hitting the slopes later. After the bank robbery.
It's going to be hard to ski with all that money.
Well, I make it work.
It'll make a really good TikTok, though.
Exact. And that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And also the money.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm a comedian. And it's not a great business to get into if you enjoy money and having
it. But the business of stealing money is a great business.
Oh, I would recommend it.
Yeah.
But you didn't hear that from me, despite the fact that I've just said it. But hold that up in court, damn it. Hearsay. Because here I am saying it. Ah, crap. Anyways, she's lost the plot. This is going to be another 90-minute segment. Okay, so my schmoment, drum
other,
roll, please.
You mean other than just what just happened?
And then all of that. You see what I'm saying. You see how I radiate constant schmo.
Yeah.
The schmo enters the room before I do. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
people are like, what's that schmell?
I greeted it and then you came behind and went, oh.
Yes.
I didn't know that you'd be joining. I thought it was just going to be the schmo with us today.
I thought it would just be schmo with us. And I say, actually, I go with schmo all the time. It's me and schmo.
Where schmo leads, you will follow.
I will follow. Thank you. Oh, Gilmore Girls. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Carol King.
Oh, please. She's a She's the king of kings.
You don't have an opinion about her.
I don't. I literally just said her name as the qualifier for her. Hey, a prolific writer. Anyways, just saw a documentary on her, so I will stop.
Oh, you did?
I did.
So how do you not have an opinion on her?
She's great.
She's really great.
She wrote songs I didn't realize she wrote, like Natural Woman.
Yes. Have you seen that clip of Aretha Franklin?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Eating a hamburger?
That literally gives me chills every time I watch
Oh, I know.
Wait, what did you say?
I said eating a hamburger. I was like, what's the most randomest clip I could think of?
No, it was her eating a taco. What's the hamburger one?
Oh, damn. Oh, she's eating a sloppy burg.
Oh, that one I don't think would be as interesting as the taco. I don't think I'm going to check that one
out. It didn't have legs. I'll be honest. It was didn't have a lot of views either, but I panicked. It was the schmo in me.
Okay, so your first date.
So many a first date I've been on. Never learn. One of them was I went to, and this was a long time ago. So listeners, I don't know, like don't come for me. Don't judge me. I know better now. Yeah. But I was eating edamame for the first time.
For the first time?
Yes.
On a first date.
On a first date.
You've never had edamame
really
before?
Really swung for the fences.
So that's the thing. That's the first schmoment of the night.
Yes.
That it's your first time trying edamame.
Off to the races. It's full of it. So it comes to the table. I don't even remember this date or who I was with, but it arrives and I'm just rolling in confident. I'm like, oh, not only do I not admit that I've never had it, I say that it's my favorite fucking thing in the world. I'm like, oh, I love it. So I grab it, I throw it in my mouth, and I start chewing.
Yeah.
And I'm chewing.
Yeah.
And I am chewing.
Mm.
Like a cow eating grass. Like, it's just like I'm trying to emulsify what feels like leather seaweed to me. I'm just like, why won't this disintegrate into food? And then eventually I notice that my date is pulling it out of its mouth and eating the what's inside. And I was like, oh. And then he comments. He's like, oh, I've never seen anyone just eat the whole thing. And I was like, oh, I love it. So I double down even more.
Oh, no.
And so I'm chewing this. I'm trying to get enough saliva in there to really break it down, but it really doesn't.
There's not enough.
There's not enough.
I love how you're like, okay, if I can just get enough saliva, are you being very logical about it?
I'm working it out in my head. I'm like, you know what? Just don't show the fear. Yeah. Don't show the panic. you keep admitting to this person that you love it and that this is how you eat it. Even though no one's making you do that. That's the schmo in me.
The schmo
in you. And so eventually I eat it. And then not only that, I have to continue to eat it. Mm. And have a conversation.
Oh, God. What are you talking about?
Just whatever.
The state of the world.
The state of the world. You know, I really like to unpack politics when I go on first dates. Really test the waters with where their political leanings are.
I think Jaden Smith would really like you. Have you seen that Jaden Smith clip? Okay, anyways, never mind.
Is he eating a hamburger?
Yeah, and talking about the state of the world.
Yeah, that's my niche content. Yeah. That's my algorithm.
Celebrities eating hamburgers.
Yeah. It's you know, I don't know what it is, but we all do it. And it's the unifying, you know, universal language for me, and shitting your pants.
Yeah.
And then the second one was probably, I was super young. I was in, like, high school. Not that young. That was, like, a few years ago. barely any. And I was in a car, and it was my car. And then we were sitting, and it was so awkward because I think he was, like, wanting to, like, you know, like, have a kiss or something. And I just, like, I couldn't handle it. I was so awkward. We just sat there, and then eventually I was, like, oh, yeah, the door kind of sticks a little bit. And I, like, reached over to, like, open the door for him. And I was like, oh, I'm the worst. And he was like, oh, yeah, no. And then he, like, kind of lingered for a bit. And then I eventually left. And I was like, I am the worst human ever. It's not even that I don't even think I didn't want to kiss him. I think I was just, like, I couldn't sit in that awkwardness anymore. Like, I was just like... And to be fair, and in my defense, that door did stick.
Okay, so you're being honest.
I did kind of think he was struggling with the door. And I wanted to just, like, let him know that.
Right.
Like, if he did struggle,
if
like,
you
don't
did want to leave out
yeah,
of my
like,
car.
If you're trying to get out and you're unable to do so, like, this is not, you know, I can assist you. But.
So he's like, oh, Carrie, your hair in the moonlight. And
yes,
you're like,
word for word.
Oh, we're in a car. It's not hitting me. And
yeah.
And he's like,
false narrative.
Is that an eyelash? And you're like, no, that's a birthmark.
No, that is. And then I'm very, like, self-conscious about it.
And he's like, Carrie, And you're like, oh, the door, does it stick?
Oh, that door.
Are you having a hard time getting out? Oh, okay.
It was literally beat for beat, that level of awkwardness.
Okay, but when you're in a moment like that, are you like...
Moment. Sorry, I don't mean to, but...
Someone, I need a ruler or an elastic band to snap on my wrist, okay? That was bad. That was embarrassing.
That was yours.
Thanks for calling me out. When you're in a schmoment like that...
Thank you.
Are you like, as soon as he leaves, are you like, Carrie, what have I done?
Yes.
Or are you like, get my phone out, I gotta write this down, that was hilarious.
Oh my God. See, I think later in life I learned to like, be more, you know, like chronicle these things.
Right.
Because they're the goods.
Right.
But back then it was more that I was just shame spiraling inside because I know how awkward I am.
Aww.
And I think I would probably write it in my diary, but less as like anecdotal and more like sad stories, my saddies, which ended up being, you know, when I reread my journal, I'm like, oh, actually, these are pretty
funny. These are funny. These
I'm
are
able
great.
To laugh at this sadness.
Yeah, let me
now.
Use this.
Yeah, I don't think I was well aware of how funny I was being by being so...
Yourself.
Myself.
Yeah.
But man, I hate first dates, so I avoid them.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to share a little schmoment.
Please.
I like to share just a little one for my week.
Hey, absolutely. That was yesterday, all those moments. But, to be clear,
when you were in high school.
When I was in high school. She's a baby.
So I was carrying a lot of bags on the bus, lot of bags that I couldn't handle.
Mm.
And I put them on my shoulder, both shoulders.
Of course.
And this is just a little quick one.
Yes.
And whenever I get into an embarrassing situation, I laugh at myself so hard while I'm in it.
Yeah.
So I look double insane
mm-hmm.
because I'm laughing so hard and looking insane. So I had bags on my shoulders and I was walking down the bus and it's narrow and I was hitting everyone and I was like, sorry, excuse me. And then I started laughing. So I was bumping everyone going, ha 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 ha. And I looked insane
because
I'm smacking everyone.
Energy.
An old lady fell over.
Oh.
She knocked over a baby.
Uh-oh.
They're falling off the bus.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like laughing hysterically. And I look insane. So that's my schmoment. And I'm sure no one would want to be in that schmoment.
No.
But I'm glad it happened because it was humbling.
It's a and it's a teachable moment. You
yeah.
know, I think it's important that, you know, we don't skip over these mm-hmm. life lessons,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the takeaway with that is when you're doing something crazy, embrace that crazy.
Yeah.
Like
and laugh at yourself like you're a... villain
yes.
in a movie by that guy, Christopher Nolan?
Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
The Batman. Have you seen The Batman?
No.
Me neither.
I haven't.
I heard it's long. And whenever somebody says something's long, I'm like, I bid you adieu.
Yeah.
Thank you, no thank you.
And on that note, this is the end of the second episode of Not My First Schmodio, because this was my second Schmodio.
Yeah,
this
so
was
now
my
it's
second episode. So thanks to all the schmoes listening, to me more.
To me.
The biggest schmo around.
Such a schmo.
And tune
schmo
in
business.
Next week to listen to another schmo just bathe in the golden dew of schmoness.
I'll be there.
You will be there.
No one's asked me to, but I'll be there.
Bye.
Bye.
Sinking.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM, live from Thunderbird Radio Hell is the program, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. I am Ben. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Tonight is the beginning of Music Waste happening in Vancouver from tonight, Thursday, until Sunday, June. So June 2nd is tonight until June 5th. All across the city, well, many parts of the city anyways, a lot of the East Van parts of the city, maybe it's not all across the city, but close enough. It's an annual tradition that has been going on for many years. Pandemic sort of have a little break here and there. I think it happened online instead the last 2 years. But this year is back live in person, real shows, real people.